how many of you in here are dreamers? Like you actually have dreams, not like you're me and like I dream of the future and stuff like that, but like you actually have dreams at night. How many of you was like maybe even nightmares? Like dreams are weird. Like because sometimes when you're dreaming, like you know you're in a dream. And you're like, well, I'm dreaming, but I know I'm dreaming. Like you're talking to Kermit the Frog or something, and you know that's not real. Or like you dream that you're flying. I love that one, when I'm just flying around. But there are some dreams that after you wake up, it takes a while to acclimate because the dream was so real.
That you wake up and it just takes you a minute to get a kind of adjusted to where you were. Like one time, Jennifer woke up and she was just mad. And I'm like, I don't know why she's mad. And all day long, she was mad. And so I asked her, I said, what is your problem? She said, I can't believe what you said to me. And I said, I didn't say anything to you. She said, in my dream, you did. Like, but it was, I didn't do it. Like, it's crazy. She eventually got over it. But like, there are some dreams that you just wake up and like, you just really want to wake up. That's how I felt about 2020, really. Like, I just wanted it to be over. Like, this has been the craziest year. Like, we started out and they're talking about World War III, and then impeachment, and then Corona, and then we got killer hornets, and we have racial riots going on, and it's the worst hurricane season in the history of the world. I feel like I'm in a game of Jumanji, and I made it to level 7, and somebody just needs to wake me up. Like, I think that's the way that all of us feel. Like, we started 2020 with a lot of hope. Like, a new decade's on the horizon. Yes, it's going to be great. Like, and now we're going, can we just hit the reset button? Like, and our country and our world is feeling lost and crazy. And the church globally, like, they're scratching their heads, and we're, like, feeling like we don't know what to do. And the answer is why we feel that way is because we don't know what to do. Like, none of us have ever experienced anything like this. Like, we've never been down this road before. And maybe you personally, like I just know that the statistics say that stress, worry, depression, anxiety, and fear are all on the rise. And the one word that I would use to describe a lot of people in our world today is hopeless. Like, in fact, the more news you watch, the more hopeless you'll become. So if you've ever felt hopeless, you know, like things are out of control, I hope to encourage you today. Like with a passage of scripture that I love to preach, our band is actually going to do a new song next week from Elevation Worship called Rattle. And I'm looking forward to it. That's the name of this series. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about this subject of rattle. Because sometimes this life just rattles us, just destroys us. And the passage of scripture I want to talk about tonight is actually what that song's about, and it's Ezekiel 37. And it's one of those passages that I go back to over and over again because I find so much encouragement from this passage. Like, we're not even going to scratch the surface of it tonight. But I hope that though if you're here or if you're watching online, that you'll take heart to what Ezekiel says. And it says this. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord." Like, now that would be awesome. I think you'd just be carried away by the Spirit of the Lord. But this is where it gets crazy. Because sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will take you to a dangerous place. Watch this. "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones." I'm like, is this necessary? It says, "He led me all around among the bones. They covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere, all along the ground, and were completely dried out." Like, I would have been like, God, couldn't you have showed me this on Instagram or Facebook or something? Like, but God's like, no, you've got to see this. Like, this is a hopeless situation. You know, all of us know what it feels like to be hopeless. Most of us here know what it's like to have hope and then lose it. You know, that's a terrible place to be. You had hope that the relationship would work out, that the addiction was going to end, that the problem was going to get solved, that you're going to break out of the debt prison. And then all of a sudden, you have a setback, and you lose all your hope. Ezekiel 37, like, that's what I would call a hopeless situation. Nobody ever stood at a valley of dry bones and said, you know what? I think these guys are going to get up and pull it all together. Be like the Cubs winning another World Series. I don't know. But they were completely dried out. It was completely hopeless. This army at some point was probably a great army. You know, they stepped into that valley thinking that, hey, we're going to win the fight. And we don't know what happened. We don't know if they were ambushed or if they were overpowered. We just know the results. That they were left on the valley floor with no hope. At one time, they had hope. And then they walked in the valley. They had hope. Maybe during the battle, like, they had hope. Even if some were getting wounded and dying, like, they could have had hope. But then they started to rot. And they completely dried out. There was no hope. You know what I discovered about God sometimes? Is that sometimes he'll wait till we're in a place where we have no hope. And all we can do is turn to him. Like some of you in this room, you know for a fact that during this season of your life, during that season of your life, that you would have never turned to Jesus had you felt spiritually hopeless. You would have never came to Christ if you would have had not felt like you were completely dried out and you had no other way. And it gets interesting here because God asks Ezekiel a question. And we know the answer to the question because we've read Ezekiel 37. But at this point, Ezekiel hadn't read Ezekiel 37 yet. In fact, he hadn't even written it yet. Again, and I love this question on the surface. Like this is a stupid question. Someone's gonna say, "Well, God doesn't ask stupid questions." Like on the surface, this question was stupid. Look at it. He said, "Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" That's a dumb question. If I said, "Hey, after the service, all of us, we're gonna go out to the cemetery over here," and we get out there, and I said, "Hey, look, like I'm gonna bring all these people back to life." None of you would go, "Absolutely, Pastor." Like you would say, "Josh needs to go to rehab." Like there are stupid questions. Someone asked me the other day, "Is like, are you working out?" Like, that's a stupid question. The answer is no. And the answer is always going to be no. Like I don't like to work out. Someone said, "Oh, swimming is great. You should swim. It's really slimming." And I said, "Then why are whales so fat? You show me a skinny whale and I'll start swimming." Like, but it's a stupid question. Like God asked Ezekiel, "Do you think these bones can live?" Like not dead bodies. Not like they'd just been dead a day or two. Like they were completely rotted. They were bones. So Ezekiel stuck because he doesn't really believe that this can happen. And he's never seen anything like this happen before. And like none of us would believe it had happened. But on the other hand, he knows that, hey, God can do anything. So he's stuck between doubt and faith. Have you ever been stuck between doubt and faith? Stuck between, "God, I'm not sure you can, but I think you can." Like that doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It just verifies that you're human. Now Ezekiel had, like he was politically correct because he gives the best answer. God says, "Hey, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says this, "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "You alone know the answer to that." God, you know that. Ezekiel's saying, "Hey, I don't know. I mean, you're God, but these guys are dead. Like dead, dead. So this is an impossible situation." And I just want to encourage people that are in the middle of an impossible situation that God can do anything. He can. God comes up then with a weird request. He said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones." Like that would be weird, right? "Preach to these bones." Like I thought preaching to an empty room with just a camera was weird. But he's saying, "Preach to the bones." And he said a prophetic message. And I love that. He didn't say, "Hey, encourage them." He didn't say, "Just tell them it's gonna be okay." Did you know telling someone that it's going to be okay when they're in the middle of a hopeless situation sometimes does more harm than it does good? He didn't even say challenge them. Like, "Hey, you can do better than that." Because telling someone that's in pain and struggling that you can do better than that a lot of times actually pushes them further away. But God said this. He said, "Speak a prophetic message to them and say to them, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, that's kind of funny to me because they don't have any eyes. But this is the way I think. But he said, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Remember that word, breath. He said, I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath, there it is again, into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The breath is mentioned twice. And I'm not against encouraging people. I think we should be encouraging people. I'm not against challenging people. But there is something about a prophetic word from the Lord. It has power. It has built in it is encouragement. When God speaks, there's power. That's why I think that it's essential for us to gather together as believers in this room, whether it's in the room or whether it's online, whatever it is, because you and I need the power of God and the word of God spoken into our lives, because that is the only thing that can change us. That is the only thing that can bring about healing. That is the only thing that can bring about hope. When God speaks, it changes things. You understand that God created the world just by speaking it into existence. There's power in the word of God. Jesus healed people all throughout his ministry with just the spoken word. He called Lazarus back from the dead. All he said was, Lazarus, come forth, with just the word. Which is why I believe we need to be in the word. Somebody here tonight listening online, you need to hear that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. You need to hear that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You need to hear that God can do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Because God can bring dead things to life. There's power in his word. That's why we need a word from the Lord. Ezekiel continues, he said, so I spoke this message just as he told me. Like, notice he threw that in there, just as he told me. Like, I wasn't doing this on my own. Like, I'm not going to talk to bones on my own. He said, suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. Can you imagine how Ezekiel felt at first? He had to feel stupid preaching to a bunch of dried up bones, a bunch of dead people. But all of a sudden, as he's preaching the word of the Lord, there's this rattling. A rattle, rattle, rattle. And at that point, listen, I'm out. Like, I'm scared of the dark anyway. I'm going home. But the bones of each body, it says, came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bones, but they still had no breath in them. In the previous verse, God promised breath twice. Breath was a big deal. But he did all this work first, and there was no breath. And when I was reading this, I thought about the process. There was a prophecy, there was a word of God, and then there was a process. Sometimes God will work immediately and supernaturally, and we see his work in our lives and around us. But did you know most of the time God works through a process? So if you're not here, or if you're not where you need to be, it's okay, because you may be in the process. You know, ladies, let me ask you a question. Men, you can't answer this question. Only ladies can. But ladies, would you say that pregnancy is a process? Like, wouldn't it be great, like, in a lot of ways, if you just got pregnant and the next day you had the baby? Like, all the men are like, yes, praise God, like, that needs to happen. But it's a process. And certain things happen in the process. Growth and development happen in the process. And in 9 months, you're just like, I got to get this thing out of me. It's a process. And if you interrupt the process, there are some problems with that, right? You know, we had Aiden born 9 weeks early and spent weeks in the NICU because the process was interrupted. It's a process. The baby has to grow and develop in the darkness. But when the baby is born, you see the work that God had been doing all along. It was invisible, but it was beautiful. God does some of his best work in the dark. So if you feel like you're in darkness right now, if you feel like you're in confusion right now, if you feel like you're hopeless, like, my encouragement would be to lean into the word of God. Because you might not be where you want to be, but you might be in the process. Maybe you're about to be delivered. Maybe you're about to experience light. Maybe you're about to see God do something that he's never done in your life before. You're in the process. But the process is a problem. Like it was incomplete. And maybe you felt like that before. Like God has done this and God has done that, but I'm incomplete. What's lacking? I think it might be the breath. Another question, and men, you can answer this one. Do any of you talk to the television? Anybody? Like anybody sitting next to somebody that should be raising their hand? Like I talk to the TV. If I'm watching a golf tournament, like I will yell at them for hitting a bad shot. If I'm watching the news, oftentimes I'm arguing, like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like how many of you talk to a dog like it's a human?
I do.
Yeah. How many of you ever talk to the driver in front of you? I had to drive to St. Louis today. I did. Man. Now you know they can't hear you, right? But you're talking to them. Don't miss this. We'll talk to the person in front of us. We'll talk to the TV. We'll talk to our dog. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever said a cuss word and then automatically said, God, I'm sorry? Like, because we know God heard us, right? Like we know he did. You're saying, why is it that when we say a cuss word, we know that God heard us, but when we pray a prayer, we think that he's deaf? Why is it we automatically believe that God heard the bad stuff, but he never heard the desperate stuff, or he never heard the cry for help? And I'm just saying this because I'm just as guilty. Like I was talking to cars this morning on the way to the airport. I was talking to the TV last night. But sometimes when I'm talking to God, I feel like for some reason he can't hear me. And listen, he's the creator of the universe. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. Not only can he hear our words, he can read our minds. He knows the desires of our heart, and he's a really good father that wants what's best for his children. Like God tells Ezekiel that, hey, you're not done yet. I promised breath, and it's not there. And he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Can you see this miracle? I guess it's a process. The process was amazing. The bones came together. Flesh and muscle came on them, but the breath. And the breath is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Symbolic of the Spirit's work in our lives. So I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. I don't know if you feel like you're dried up and dehydrated, a pile of bones. I don't know if you feel like you're a work in progress. But something's missing. And here's what I can promise you. God's heart is for you. His heart is for you to live. For his breath to come into your life and to fill you with hope and joy and peace like you've never imagined. This army at one time, like they didn't just feel defeated. Like they were defeated. They were dried out and dehydrated. And the enemy moved on and forgot about them. But the enemy didn't know that even though they'd been knocked down, that they weren't knocked out. That God took a bunch of dry bones and brought them back to life, a great or vast army. What the enemy thought that they had destroyed, God had brought to life. That's what God does. He takes our lives that have been destroyed, that appear to be hopeless, and he brings them back. In fact, that's our church. That's what I love about our church. Because every one of us at one point have felt like dry bones. But God has started doing something in us, in you. Maybe it was a week ago, maybe it was a month ago, maybe it was 20 years ago. God started working. His Spirit is living in us. And listen, and we're taking on the enemy. I don't know how you feel tonight, where you're at. But here's what I know, that God's desire is to breathe the breath of life into you. And I don't know what decision you need to make today. But if you're down, listen, you're not out. If you have the Spirit of God, listen, you're not dead. You're not lost. You're not gone. His desire is to bring you back. Stop trying to do it on your own. Let's pray. Father God, tonight, God, we're thankful that you can take a pile of bones that have been dry, that have been sitting there for who knows how long. And God, you can put them back together. You can breathe life into them and cause a vast army. And God, we know that you can do that with us. Well, sometimes we doubt it. Sometimes we struggle right in that line between doubt and faith. But God, we know that you are for us and you're not against us. And so, Father, I pray today for anyone that's in the sound of my voice that feels hopeless, that feels like they're down and defeated. Father, I pray today that you would breathe life into them. It's in the name of Jesus who died for us, I pray. Amen.